Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and if you would, go to the 32nd chapter. I want to look at just a few words at the end of the third verse in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and then I'll go back and lay the foundation for the message. But this is our subject for today in Deuteronomy 32, the last statement of verse 3, where we read, "Ascribe ye greatness unto our God." That's what I want to do, is ascribe greatness to our God. He is great. We used to have a little prayer that we said, and you know, we memorized it. God is good, God is great. I didn't even understand what I was saying when I, you know, recited those words, and I'm not for reciting any kind of prayers, but I do know this: God is great. Any way you think about Him, He's great. And what I'm asking of God is today He would fill us with an awareness of His greatness. And if you and me, if we could be acquainted with God's greatness, with His awesomeness, that's when we'll worship. It's said that an old preacher said to his friend, he said, "Your thoughts of God are too low. They're too little. Your God's too little." I listen to what's said about God today. He's too little. I need a great God, don't you? I need a great Savior. I need great grace. I need a great salvation. That's the only thing that's going to help me. The only God who can help me, He's got to be great. He's got to be greater. His will's got to be greater than my will. His power has got to be greater than my power. And His authority has got to be greater than the authority of Satan. I want today to say some things about the greatness of God. And I'll just go ahead and apologize for my feebleness in setting forth such an awesome subject. I feel so inadequate to talk about a great God. Who am I? I'm just a worm of the dust. I'm just a fallen sinner in Adam. I'm just one who lives and breathes and eats sin just like you do. I've taken on this morning, I'm taking on an awesome subject. And I feel so incapable of doing this subject justice. So I'm going to be reading some verses to you, because there's only one that knows and understands the greatness of God, and that's God Himself. Aren't you thankful that God has not left us without a witness? He's given us His Word. How are we going to learn about God? So, well, I think I'll go for a walk out in the woods and learn about God. Well, creation sets forth His glories, and the firmament, it set forth his handiwork. And you can go fishing. You can go fishing, brother. And learn about the nature and the things that God has made. And some of you guys, you go hunting and you see these animals. And you can just go out here. You can go out and observe the things that God has made. And you say, this is the great hand of God here. But here's what you can't learn out there. You can't learn about God's way of grace out there. And I've heard people, I've had people say to me, I'll just go worship God in nature. Well, I can worship God as I observe nature. I can worship God as I observe nature. I can worship Him as the maker of all things, as the creator of all things, as the sustainer of all things, as the preserver of all things. I can worship Him as the giver of life. I can worship Him as the giver of beautiful things, things that are beautiful to my eyes. I can worship Him as I listen to the birds sing. And I can thank Him for the abilities that He gave them, the gifts that He gave them, and He blesses me through their music. But from nature, I cannot learn how God saves sinners. You can't learn that. You can take a walk through the woods, but you won't learn anything about how God can be just and justify the ungodly. You can gaze up at the stars at night, take your telescope, and look at all the constellations that you can see. And look at as many stars as you can see, and you can be filled with awe at the creative glories of God, but you won't learn anything about His saving glory. You can only learn about God in His fullness, God in His greatness, and God in His grace through this book, through the word that He's given us. God has not remained silent. Do you know this? A silent God is an unknowable God. That's right. If God doesn't speak through His Word, by His Son, if He doesn't speak, if God doesn't utter a word, there's no way we'll understand who He is. There's no way that we will ever grasp how He shows mercy and grace without compromising His justice. We only learn about salvation and forgiveness of sins and righteousness with God and of the Lord Jesus and His blood redemption through this book. If you want to learn about God, don't read the writings of men. Read the writing of God. Does that make sense? If you want to learn about God, read what God has said about Himself. And He has spoken. God has spoken through His Son. God has spoken and He still speaks through His Word. Now, nobody is receiving any audible communications from God today. I don't care what these religious hucksters say on television, who have the audacity to say things like, "What'd you say, God?" I heard one preacher one time, he was preaching, he said, "Just a minute, God." And then he finished what he said, "Now, God, what did you have to say?" What in the world? God speaks through His Word by His Holy Spirit, who enlightens our poor minds and our hearts as to what this book is all about. And in this book we hear of, we read of, the greatness of our God. The greatness of God in creation. He spake. Everything came into existence. He said, "Let there be light." Lights came on. The greatness of God in creation. And He made everything after its kind, that's what the scripture says, after its kind. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. That's the greatness of God in creation. You learn that from this book. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning, God. Everything starts with God, and I'll tell you this, everything ends with God too. It doesn't start with us, and it doesn't end with us, and everything doesn't revolve around us. We're so self-centered that we think this is all about us. It's not all about us. It's all about God in His greatness and in His glory. He started everything. He's going to finish everything. He's going to wrap everything up. He's the one who continues everything as it's going today, as it's unraveling, as it's unfolding. His predestinated purpose is unfolding exactly on schedule. This is the greatness of God. God is great in creation. God is great in providence. What is providence? It is God directing all things to the end that He has already appointed. Way back in old eternity, God ordained everything that ever would be. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Say, are you a predestinarian? Listen, if you believe the Bible, you've got to be a predestinarian just like me. Yes, I'm a predestinarian. I make no apologies for that. You mean you believe that all things are ordained of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. You don't think anything happens by luck? No. You don't think that anything happens by chance? No. You think that all things happen on purpose? Yes. Do you get it? God, can I make it any more simpler for you? This is what the Bible says. God's a God of purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is a God of purpose, not luck, not chance, not fate. I hear people talk about blind fate. I don't believe in blind fate, and I don't believe in blind faith either. I believe God. He started everything, He finishes everything, and He's conducting everything to the end that He's ordained. He's great in creation, He's great in providence. All things are fulfilling His will. Oh, the purpose of God, how mysterious it is. The ways of God. That's why the apostle says they're past finding out. He's conducting everything to the end that He's already appointed. He's set a bound for you and for me. We can't pass the days of our life. I'm not talking about the soap opera either. Every day that we live is a day that God gives us, and we'll live till He says it's time to die. Why, He even knows and has ordained the number of hairs on your head. And He's ordained everything else as well. So how does sin fit into this? What about evil? How does evil fit? You surely don't believe that evil is controlled by God, do you? Well, let me ask you this. Ever since God created the world, right up to right now, September 13th, 2015, right up to now, what's the worst thing, what's the worst evil that's ever happened in the world? Now, you can ask any number of people that question, you'll get multiple answers. But here's the real answer, and really the only answer to this. What's the worst evil that's ever happened in this world? What's the worst iniquity man's ever committed? Killing the Son of God. Would you agree? Sure, it's killing the Son of God. God Almighty came into this world that He made. He came unto His own, to His own world, to His own nation, to His own people, to His own family. He came unto His own. God came down here one time, since the creation of the world, God took upon Himself a body. And He did that in a permanent way. And He came into this world. Well, what did the world do? Embrace Him with open arms and say, "Welcome, Creator. Welcome, O promised Savior. Welcome, O promised Messiah. Oh, we're so glad to see You, blessed Redeemer, who will purchase our pardon with Your blood." Is that what the world did? No. The world said, "We don't want You here. You're not going to reign over us." The world despised Him. They rejected Him. And the religious leaders of the world, they were the ones in charge of His crucifixion, in charge of killing Him. When he said that He was the Son of God, the religious world said, "We're going to put Him out of business permanently." This is God in the flesh, who went about doing nothing but good. He healed their sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. Those that were lame, He caused them to walk. He did multiplied miracles, testifying as to who He was. He fed thousands of people with just a few morsels of bread and a couple of fish. He did all of this, and they said, "We're going to kill You. You break the Sabbath, and You say God's your Father? You're a blasphemer." And when they had the chance, they pounced on Him, and they killed Him. They killed the Lord of glory. Peter said, "You killed the just one." You did. You crucified the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory came down here, and what did man do? They killed Him. That's the worst thing man's ever done. It's the worst evil, the most atrocious act that's ever been committed in the history of time. And yet, God ordained it. Oh yeah. Way back yonder in the eternal covenant of grace, God ordained that the Lamb would die. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sinner, there's already a Savior. Before a sheep ever went astray, there's already a shepherd. The shepherd's already been appointed for the chosen sheep. Worst act that men have ever done is kill the Son of God. And yet they did just exactly what God purposed to do. Amen. Yeah, He's great in providence. And I speak to you who are the children of God today. Some of you going through some dark days, painful times. Some of you shedding some tears. Don't ever lose sight of this. God still reigns. He's bringing His purpose to pass. I've got some dear folks over in Hawaii we love so much. And a precious family member died this week, and I've been communicating with them, trying to encourage them and remind them God's on the throne. God's on the throne. See, the issues of life and death, they don't belong to us. And they don't belong to the devil. They don't belong to the doctors. They belong to God. and those difficult trials and afflictions that come your way. There may be somebody in here this morning who's got a really heavy heart. Your heart is so heavy. I assure you of this, whatever road God has got you on, it's the best one for you to be on because He's your Heavenly Father. I believe that. I wish I believed it more fully. And I think, I'm persuaded you believe it. But I know you feel like I do. Oh God, help me to believe this more fully. See, the reason we have those anxious nights, we lay awake, we have sleepless times, and our minds just, we run all these different scenarios through our minds about these difficulties. You don't do that, do you? You don't ever think about, well, what if this, what if? You're not a what if person, are you? Oh, come on. Yeah, you are. I got a sneaky feeling just like me. And you tend to worry. You tend to murmur a little and say, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take of this. Let us remember we're in His arms. We're His little lambs. He's caressing us. He came after you and found you, didn't He? Well, sure. You wandering astray, wandering afar from the fold. And He pursued you. Did you pursue Him? He pursued you. He came after you. And He found you. You think He's going to forget you? Is He just going to set you down and say, well, now you're on your own now? No. Oh, don't you love it there in Luke chapter 15 where the shepherd seeks a lost sheep. 1 out of 100 lost. He left the 99. He left them in the wilderness. The 99, they're the self-righteous Pharisees. And He left them and He went looking for His lost sheep. And He found that lost sheep and He picked it up and put it up on His shoulders. And off He goes back home rejoicing. Oh, child of God, in your pain, in your weariness, in your tears, in your weeping, in your grief, remember, you're up on the shepherd's shoulders. Amen. He's carrying you all the way home. And if that don't help you, well, I'll tell you, it sure helps me. Providence. Providence. I can't say enough about how great our God is in providence. He takes this event and that event and this other event and He puts them all together. He mixes them up in a bowl and He makes it work out wonderfully and beautifully for His glory and your good. That's the good times and what we call the bad times. That's the times when you laugh and the times that you cry. And I tell you, our great God knows exactly what kind of mixture is best for you and me. And you know, the mixture's not alike for you as it is for me. The things that happen to you, they're different. But it's all working together for our good and for God's glory. I tell you, God's great in providence. He's just great in providence. And if we believe that like we ought to, it'd make for us a soft pillow to lay our heads on. And just go on to sleep at night and just not worry and not bite your fingernails and pull your hair out. I see some of you getting kind of thin. You've been pulling your hair out, haven't you? That's the way we are. Aren't you glad God has mercy on us, old poor sinners? It's nothing to us, is it? It's just nothing to us. It's all of Him. He's great in creation. He's great in providence. And oh my, is He ever great in salvation? He's great in grace. It's a great salvation. That's what we read over in Hebrews chapter 2. It's a great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's got a great author. It's God Himself, devised in great wisdom. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is about how can God be just and justify the ungodly. Well, who could come up with the answer to that riddle? Only God. Only God. Why, we could never figure it out. How can God continue to be just and holy and righteous and pure as He is, and yet embrace a vile sinner like you and me, take us unto Himself and hug us and give us like the Father did the prodigal son, put a kiss of love on his cheek? How can the Father, the God of glory, how can He embrace us in love and in mercy and hug us and love on us and take us unto Himself and adopt us into His family? How can He do that and not be defiled by our guilt and our sin and our rottenness? How can that happen? You say, well, it can't happen. Just there's no way. There's one way. And somebody is the way. And that's Christ Jesus. Amen. And God appointed Him to be the Savior. And our Lord Jesus, He came into this world as the representative of all that elect seed that God gave Him before the world began. He came down here as our substitute, as the satisfier of God's law. And He met the law with all of its strict standards, all of its precepts. He met the law. He passed every test. Every jot and every tittle of the law, He obeyed. When there was a feast to be attended, He attended it. Whatever was called for, He did it. He's the perfect man. He obeyed every precept of the law. Well, what about us breaking the law? He's going to take care of that. And He did take care of that by His death. Oh, how great is our God in giving us His Son. No wonder we read over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This is a great mystery. There are many great mysteries about our great God, but this is perhaps the greatest mystery of all. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. What a mystery. God came down here. Why? Why did He come? Well, so we could have a Christmas every year. That's not why He came. Why did He come down here? He came to save His people from their sins. That's why He came. He came on a mission. He came to accomplish the Father's eternal will of redemption. God purposed for Him to come, and He came. And while He's God Himself, as a man, He volunteered. He volunteered for this duty. The Father gave Him a work to do, and He said, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. What will? God's redemptive will. God's saving will. God's will of grace. Thank God for His will of grace. Oh, how great He is in salvation. And the Savior went to the cross. He suffered, bled, and died. Not in vain. Not in vain. No, sir, not in vain. He died to save the objects of God's love. He died to redeem His people. He died to put away our sins. He died, as Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And our Lord Jesus, as He hung on that cross, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head. And then He gave up the ghost. He died. And when He died, our sins died. Amen. And we're dead to sin. We are dead to sin. Listen, people of God, you're dead to sin. Dead to its condemning power. You're dead to it. How do you know He accomplished this great work of God's salvation? Because He arose again. Went back to glory. And up in glory now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the exalted Savior. And then when he went home to glory, he sent his Spirit. Because you see, this gospel's got to be made real to us old dead sinners. Something's got to be done for us. Something been done about our sin, but I got to have something done to me. You do too. I got to have a work done within me. Because you see, I'm still at enmity with God. By nature, I'm God's enemy. Yeah, but he loved you and Christ died for you. But I didn't know anything about that. I'm just going on along life's merry way. No real thought of the true God, the greatness of God, the God of glory. I didn't have any thoughts about him. I had some thoughts about an imaginary God and an imaginary Jesus and an imaginary spirit. And I believed a fake gospel, a phony gospel, another gospel, a false gospel. I believed that, but I didn't know the God of the Bible. I didn't know anything about the gospel. Just going down the broad road that leaded to destruction with everybody else. And then the Spirit of God, oh blessed Spirit, he came to me through the preaching of the gospel. And he separated me from the crowd. And he got me off to myself. And he dealt with me one-on-one. That's how God deals with us, one-on-one. Isn't that right? One-on-one. And then he who was dead in trespasses and sins was raised from the dead. And as a result of that life-giving work of the blessed Spirit of God, what is that life-giving work called? The new birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The Spirit of God wakes us up from the sleep of death, and he brings us to see and believe and rejoice in Jesus Christ. He shows us our neediness after he shows us God's holiness. We learn something about who God is, and in the light of his glorious countenance, in the light of his greatness, we see how little we are and how needy we are, how sinful we are. Oh, we don't see it in its fullness. I don't mean to say that. But we are made to see our neediness. And then God the Holy Spirit shows us somebody. He takes the scales off of our eyes and he shows us somebody who came and lived and died and rose again and ascended back to glory. He shows us the beauties and the majesty and the sweetness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in our hearts, this is what happened to me, in my hearts, I must have this Savior. This is the one I need. This is the one I need. And I just ran to him. I looked to him. I embraced him because he had embraced me. He took me in. And I know I was holding on to him. I'm still holding on, but it's not my hold on him that saved me. It's his hold on me. It's like when, you know, you're going to walk a child across the street and you take their hand and they hold your hand. It's not their grip on your hand that's their safety. It's your grip on their hand. That's their safety. And we hold him. We embrace him. We cling to him. Don't you cling to him? I do. I cling to him. But bless his name. That almighty great Savior, he embraces me. He's got me. He holds me. We used to sing a song years ago. He will hold me fast. He will hold. When my faith falters, he will hold me fast. When I fail, he will hold me fast. When I'm full of unbelief, he will hold me fast. He's got a grip on me. It's a grip of almighty great grace.
Amen.
And And you know what this great God's going to do one day? He's going to come, this great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to come and take me home to be with Him. Oh, blessed day. And then I'll see the great Son of God. I'll see Him face to face. And forever and ever, I'll ascribe greatness to my God. I'll publish His greatness. I'll say, oh Lord, how great Thou art. And really, I've only got one musician to deal with this morning. Could we sing How Great Thou Art instead of the last one I picked out? And where's the song leaders over here? Why don't y'all just come right? Let's sing How Great Thou Art. What is it, 37? 37.